church. We're in for a fun month. Are you glad to be here? Why don't you get up on your feet? We're going to start by worshiping the Lord because He is with us. He is good. So come on, let's sing it out.
I marched into battle, no doubt in my mind that my God is with me and victory is mine. In the shadow of my enemy, because God is my champion and He fights for me. Oh, God is my champion and He fights for me. Hey! Bigger the battle, greater my faith. There is no giant you cannot slay, because you're stronger than 10,000 armies. You're stronger than 10,000.
Yeah!
Whoa, oh, oh.
Still say, You've always been good to me. My soul.
Too wide, but from the far side of the chasm, you had me in your sight, and you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside, and there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Yes. thank you, Lord. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. And I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the
He's the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. Church, we're going to go into a time of communion right now. So if you can find the elements, go ahead and take your seats. And we're going to return into, we're going to follow right back into another song. It's a time of worship. I think it's important to say again, as we come to the Lord's table, that we are doing two things. We're remembering. Jesus gave us the command to practice this. He told us to remember what he did. But we are also receiving. Every time we come to the table, by faith, by trust in this blood, in his broken body, we receive spiritual nourishment and grace. That this is not just some dead ritual today. Right now, today, in this moment, God has grace to bring to you. Whether it's healing in your body, your emotions, whatever it is you need. Even fresh forgiveness today. And that's what I felt like the Lord wanted me to highlight. That there are some of you here today who you came in and you are torn apart with either some guilt or some shame, maybe over your past, maybe over something recently. You came in feeling like you're a disappointment to God. And today, here at his table, with his shed blood and broken body, it doesn't matter what it is where you feel like you fell short. This blood is your forgiveness, is your cleansing, and it speaks over each of us again today that regardless of what we've done, we are beloved sons and daughters. That's true for each and every single one of you that have put your faith in Jesus Christ. So would you go ahead and peel back that top layer there? The Apostle Paul reminded us the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." As we partake, I want you to thank the Lord again that his body was broken for you, not just for the world in general, for you. And ask the Holy Spirit to bring to you today the blessings that came through his broken body. Let's go ahead and receive. Then when you're ready, be careful, but peel back that next piece to get to the cup. Again, after Jesus broke bread, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood." He said that this is the new covenant. In other words, it's the new agreement between God and man. That sinful, broken, weak human beings could come into intimate friendship with their Creator because the blood has now been applied to our account, to our lives, and can wash us completely clean. And for those of you here today that you said, "You know what? I feel like that's me. I came in today and I have accusation in my mind and heart that I'm not good enough, that the Lord will not forget or forgive my sins." If you're feeling shame or guilt today, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to receive that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, that there is forgiveness in this blood for those that come to Jesus in faith and in trust. So thank the Lord for his blood, but also receive today, whatever it is, whatever's on your heart, fresh forgiveness, love from your Savior. Let's partake together. Jesus, we thank you today. We thank you for your sacrifice. Father, I thank you that the power of your broken body and shed blood is able to break off all shame, all condemnation, all guilt. So, Holy Spirit, I'm asking this morning for any heart, any person here today that feels the weight of shame, accusation, and guilt coming against them. Lord, we ask that you'd break it off right now in this moment. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd bring fresh assurance to each one that they are your beloved sons, beloved daughters. You enjoy us even in our weakness. Lord, speak that to every heart again today. We thank you for the cross and for what you did in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Church, would you stand again? And if you are thankful for that sacrifice, I want you to just sing this next song out with all your heart right back to the Lord.
Darkness, we were waiting without hope and without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus for our sake you died. That stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father.
For being here for Northwoods at the Movies. Why don't you grab that popcorn, grab a seat, and check out the screen.
Oh, hey. I didn't see you there. How's it going? Wow. Hey, I'm on the big screen. Hey, Mom, look, I made it. I'm on the big screen. This is awesome. Well, hey, since I've got your attention, let me give you some information here. Welcome to Northwoods. We are kicking off a brand new series called At the Movies. I'm getting ready to go see a movie here, but before I do, I want to give you some information about what's going on here at Northwoods, because you know what? I would love to have you join me at the movies here for this whole thing. So do me a favor. Take out your phone, open up the Northwoods app, fill out the connection card. Let us know that you're here joining us. On that app, you can also tell us if you have any prayer requests. We would love to pray for you. We've got a team that prays every single week specifically for each one of those requests. And you know what? If you're brand new with us, you've never been with us today or any other time, you know what? Text NEW to the number at the bottom of your screen, and we would love to get a pastor to connect with you. Guys, nothing that we do around Northwoods would be possible without your faithful giving. So thank you so much for all that you do around here and your generosity that lets us do all of the ministry that God has for us right here through Northwoods. You know, we know that life throws all kinds of wrenches in the way for us sometimes. And we've got support groups and we've got purity groups. We've got groups to help you navigate the addiction. Maybe you and the kids are walking through divorce and the aftermath of what that looks like. Maybe it's grief. You've lost someone in your life and you have a grief share class that you can go to. Jump on our website. We would love to connect with you and help you walk through those things. So it's northwoods.church/support groups. Guys, we also know that there's lots of things that keep us bound to the debt we have in our life. All over the television and the radio, you can hear it in the news all over the place. We've got so many people talking about debt and debt relief. But you know what? God has a plan for that. And we've also partnered with Financial Peace University. And we've got a 9-week class that can help you learn how to get rid of that debt, learn how to save, and learn how to prepare for the future. So like Dave Ramsey says, you can learn to live and give like no one else. So jump online, jump on the app, sign up for the Financial Peace University class. You know, I think that's pretty much all I've got for you today. So let's go ahead and get going to the movies. All right, I think they're getting ready to start.
Look out there. Out there is the perfect lap. You see it?
I think so.
Most people can't.
Carroll Shelby.
Maybe.
Lee Iacocca, Ford Motor.
Suppose Henry Ford II wanted to build the greatest race car the world's ever seen to win the 24 hours of Le Mans. What's it take?
Well, it takes something money can't buy.
Money can buy speed.
What in about speed?
You need a pure racer behind the wheel of your car. That's Ken Miles.
I don't trust him an inch.
We heard he's difficult.
No, Ken's a puppy dog.
No. Whatever it is, Shell, no. Trust me.
You're going to build a car to beat Ferrari with a Ford.
Correct.
And how long did you tell them that you needed? 200-300 years?
90 days.
This isn't the first time Ford Motors has gone to war. We know how to do more than push paper. Go ahead, Carol. Go to war.
Thank you, sir.
Do you think you can beat Ferrari?
We're lighter, we're faster. And that don't work, we're nastier.
We're gonna make history.
You ready?
I was born ready, Mr. Shelby. Hit it.
Oh, that's good, isn't it? Oh, well, it's good to see you, Northwoods, and I'm glad you're here as we kick off our series At the Movies. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be using some of Hollywood's biggest hits to illustrate biblical truth. And today, we're kicking it off with Ford versus Ferrari. You know, when I first watched this movie, as soon as I was done,
I ran out to my 2006 Honda Accord, and I was just letting it rip. Just, I mean, as much as you can in a 2006 Honda Accord. So we're going to have some fun today. But before we kind of jump into today's message, I kind of want to lay the foundation for why we're doing this series. Because, you know, there might be some of us who ask the question, like, why use movies in church? And I want to answer that question for you. I want to give you two reasons why we're doing this series. Here's the first reason. Because using recognizable stories, movies are stories, using recognizable stories to illustrate and point people to spiritual truth is a biblical concept. Now, if you look in the Bible, Jesus would use parables at times. He would tell stories, that, and the scenarios he would lay out would be familiar, would be recognizable to the people that he was talking to, and they'd be a way of him pointing people to spiritual truth. If you look at the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul would at times quote Greek philosophers. He would use cultural concepts as a starting place to move people to a greater truth. So using recognizable stories as a way to point people to spiritual truth is a biblical concept. So that's the first reason. And here's the second reason. Because people love movies. I want our church to be a place that is easy, is an easy invite for you, for each of us, to invite our unchurched friends. I want this to be a place that makes it easy to invite someone. And when we're talking about at the movies, that's a really easy invite. So why are we doing this series? Because using recognizable stories to point people to spiritual truth is a biblical concept. And also because people love movies. So today we're going to jump into Ford versus Ferrari. And I'm really excited about this one today because we have two people in the Peoria area who were graciously willing to allow us to have their cars here on stage. And so I want to introduce you kind of to these cars here. And as I do this, y'all know the 10th commandment, right? Thou shalt not covet. Don't be coveting your neighbor's cars. Okay, so this right here, this is a 1965 Shelby Cobra. In fact, in the movie, Carroll Shelby is the one who, he's won Le Mans, the race, but he also designs sports cars. And he actually, in the movie, if you go and watch the movie, he drives something very similar to this car. So this is a 1965 Shelby Cobra. Over here, the red car, this is a 2004 Ferrari Challenge Stradale. And this is really a car that has a racing design that's been made street legal. So what I want to do here this morning is have a little bit of fun, is we'll kind of do our own Ford versus Ferrari. So I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to have you vote by way of applause / noise. So that question is going to be, which car would you rather drive? Okay, so I'm going to start with the 1965 Shelby Cobra. So if you'd rather drive the 1965 Shelby Cobra, I want to hear it from you. Okay. All right. If you'd rather drive the 2004 Ferrari Challenge, let me hear it. Looks like Ferrari loses again. Spoiler alert. Sorry about that. If you haven't seen the movie. Well, listen, this movie that we're going to talk about today is a true story about Ford taking the challenge to build a race car that's better than Ferrari and win the famed 24 hours of Le Mans race. Now, the Le Mans is different than other races if you're not into racing, as I've found here. The Le Mans is different than, like, say, the Daytona or the Indianapolis 500 in that those races are fixed distance races. And so whoever crosses the finish line first is the winner. But the Le Mans, this is an endurance race, and the winner is whoever covers the greatest distance in 24 hours. So it's a grueling endurance race. And what I find interesting is that the Bible likens our life with Jesus to a race. In fact, in several different passages, you see this. In one passage in particular we're going to look at today, it's found in Hebrews chapter 12. verses 1 and part of verse 2. And so that's where we're going to be today. We're going to camp out on this passage. So if you have a Bible and want to follow along, you can go there. Also, the verses will be on the screen. So Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and through part of verse 2, we're going to read it. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith." So our life with Christ is likened to a race, specifically an endurance race. Now, anyone can run hard for a short distance, but enduring for a long distance, that's a whole nother race. Like if I told you today, hey, I want you to come up here and I want you just to run right across from, you know, from here to here. Well, that wouldn't be a problem for us, would it? That's just a short distance. But if I said after the service, I want you to follow me and we're gonna go out and we're gonna run to Bloomington, I mean, that would be completely different, right? There'd be very few who'd even attempt it. And if you wanted to attempt it, listen, we have counselors on staff, and you know, we can work with you, okay? But enduring for the long distance is not easy. You get this. It's not easy, and that's exactly what our life following Christ on this earth entails. So today, we're going to let God's word teach us how to endure for the long haul. And so I'm going to use the word endure today as an acrostic. There's a founding pastor somewhere today who is extremely proud. Okay? So the E of endure is this: embrace the challenge. So if you're taking notes, the E is embrace the challenge. So in the movie, when Ford begins to start building a race car, they send Lee Iacocca, he's one of their executives, to Carroll Shelby to start asking some questions. And one of the questions he asks is, what's it going to take for us to win the race? Now, Carroll Shelby has actually won the Le Mans in the past, but he also, like I said, he designs sports cars. So Lee Iacocca comes and he asks the question, what's it take? I want you to watch this clip.
Warren. I help you? Carroll Shelby. Maybe? Lee Iacocca, Ford Motor. I'm here on behalf of Mr. Ford, Henry Ford II. Suppose, hypothetically, that he wanted his company to win the 24 Hours of Le Mans. You're one of the only Americans that's ever done it, so I'm wondering, what's it take?
Hypothetically.
It takes something money can't buy.
Money can buy speed.
But it isn't about speed, Lee. It's not just like those other tracks where all you do is turn to the left for 4 hours. To win that race, you need a car that's light enough to do 200 on the straightaways, but strong enough to keep that up for 3,000 miles without a break. Not just the best car y'all have ever made, but better than anything that Enzo Ferrari shows up with that year. And that just gets you to the green flag. That's where your problems really start.
It's gonna take more time.
Go. Wait.
So you're saying it's challenging.
Look, it's not even a track, Lee. Le Mans 8.5 miles of country road. It's narrow, ungraded, it's rough. There's no camber on the turns, no rails. You gotta do that for 24 hours. 24 hours, Lee. Cars coming up on you out of nowhere. Drivers stumbling around the track, pouring blood. Maybe one of them's your friend, maybe he's on fire. You're exhausted, you're hungry, can't remember your name, what country you're in. And all of a sudden you realize you're doing 198 on a straight. And if anything goes wrong, you blow a gasket, 5-cent washer. That's it, whole thing's over. Ferrari wins again. It's like he won last year, year before that, year before that. Yeah, it's challenging.
So Iacocca asked the question, what's it take? And as you saw, Shelby lays out, here's all of what you're going to encounter, and he kind of answers sarcastically, yeah, it's challenging. And here's what I want us to get this morning as we talk about this point here, that the Christian life, following Jesus, if you're taking notes, is a challenge, not a cakewalk. Challenge, not a cakewalk. You know, some of us have embraced the idea that because we follow Jesus, bad things should never happen to us, and life should kind of go as planned. But the truth is, that's not how it happens. And so many times when bad things happen, we become disappointed with God and we become extremely disoriented. And it's because we embraced the idea that this, when since I'm walking with Jesus, it's not going to be a challenge. Listen, it's going to be a challenge. Not only because life is hard, but because if you're a follower of Jesus, you are opposed in the spiritual realm. As a follower of Jesus, Satan and the forces of evil, you have a target on your back, and you will be opposed. It will be a challenge. In fact, if you look at that passage in Hebrews, it says, let us run with endurance the race. If you look at the word race, in the language that the New Testament was originally written in, the Greek, that word for race is agona. Does it sound like any English word you might know? Agonize. It's agonizing. It's challenging. It's grueling. And so part of enduring for the long haul means that we recognize it's not going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be a challenge. And that we say, you know what, I'm going to embrace the challenge because I have the power of the Holy Spirit living in me and I can endure for the long haul. So I'm going to embrace the challenge. So part of enduring, embrace the challenge. Now, here's the end. The end is notice the crowd. Notice the crowd. Look back at Hebrews 12 in verse 1. The very first part says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. So he starts by saying, remember, basically, that in your race, you're not alone, which harkens back to chapter 11 of Hebrews, where he talks about all the great heroes of the faith who ran their race with perseverance and intensity. So he's talking about people like Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Rahab, and so on. And he's saying, listen, all the heroes of the faith who have gone before you are cheering you on in your race. You know, in the movie, there were many phases leading up to the Le Mans, this race. And part of that was taking the car that Ford had built and putting it in races to see how it would do. So in this clip, I want to show you, they're actually racing at Daytona. Ken Miles, who is Shelby's hand-selected driver, is behind the wheel. And as they come into the final lap, Miles is a few cars back from first place. And as he makes an approach to win this race, I want you to recognize not only the vast crowd, but his crew and his family who are cheering him on. Watch this clip.
Battle for the lead is being raged as the number 98 Ford makes an incredible late surge.
What's happening?
Rolling
he's moving,
no? Entering the front tire,
Ken Miles desperate for the win, may prove to be huge. White flag, long flag.
Miles is pushing him hard.
Coming into the final turn.
I love that clip. And I love how at the end you just see, you know, not only is the crowd cheering for him, but his whole crew, they got their hands up cheering for him. His family's cheering for him. And again, I love it because it really relates to what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. In a similar fashion, the passage suggests that heaven is full of men and women of faith who are rooting for our successful race through life. Yeah. And listen, when we're in the middle of our race, we can not only draw strength from knowing that the people who have gone before us are cheering us on, but we also draw strength from their stories that we find in the Bible, because their stories bear witness to the faithfulness of God. If you read the Bible, there is story after story of people struggle. But there's story after story of people enduring even through the struggle because they weren't relying on their own strength. They were drawing on the strength from the Lord, and they endured. And so when we struggle, we go back and we read their stories. We read, you know, the story of Peter about how when he failed, Jesus restored him and he went on to do incredible things for the kingdom. We read their stories, and their stories bear witness to the faithfulness of our God, and we draw on his strength. So if we're going to endure, that means we embrace the challenge, we notice the crowd, and then here's the D. Ditch extra weight. Ditch extra weight. Again, let's look back at our passage in Hebrews. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. I want you to imagine with me for a second that the next time the Summer Olympics roll around, imagine you're sitting, you're watching TV, and it comes up to the marathon race. You see all the marathoners line up, and then you see one of the guys who's gonna run a marathon. You look at him, and he's dressed in this large, oversized, puffy winter jacket, big baggy sweatpants, and steel-toed boots. That would be odd, right? Why? Because if you're going to endure, if you're going to run a distance race, you better make sure you are as light as possible. Now, in this movie, Shelby and Miles realize that the car, they could not carry any unneeded weight if they're going to have a chance at winning. So leading up to Le Mans, they were not only racing the car to see how it would do in races, but they were constantly fine-tuning the car to see where they needed to improve. And at times, they would even cut weight, take things out of the car to make it lighter. Let's watch.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So, Shell.
Grabbing air.
That's the problem. Open IT. Air's getting in, not getting out. It's the nose. I can feel it in the wheel.
Mr. Miles, if there's a problem, the computer will find it.
No. Charlie, get some Scotch tape and a ball of wool.
All right. Good, good, good. So now let's just get all of this junk out. All right, Pops?
Yeah, I concur. Come on, guys.
What are they doing?
Making your car faster. There, right there. Airflow's getting stuck.
I see it! Yarn blow straight up!
Yep.
Front lifting!
This car wants to go faster! I feel it.
Any lighter, we're getting fragile. Took 70 pounds out of her in the last week. She's outputting max horsepower from this displacement.
So put in a bigger engine.
Where are we going to put it, on the roof?
So they're looking for ways to improve the car. And part of that was taking weight out of the car, unneeded weight, ditching extra weight. And if we're going to endure, we have to do the same. Hebrews says, strip off every weight that slows us down. So that means getting serious about hurts, habits, and hang-ups that impede our spiritual progress. These are things like emotional wounds from the past that seem to cripple us at times. Maybe it's unsettled relational conflict. Maybe it's a pattern of sin that doesn't matter what you do, it just seems like you fall back into it time and time again. You know, we talk about forgiveness and freedom a lot here at Northridge. You've heard that term. And by that, we mean that Jesus came to not only forgive us the penalty of our sin, but he came to set us free from the power of sin in our lives, those hurts, habits, and hang-ups that tend to impede our spiritual progress. You know, the writer of Hebrews would not have said, strip off every weight if it wasn't possible. It is possible, but we have to get to the place where we're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And we say, you know what, I'm going to do the work. Because yes, the Lord wants to set you free, but it's going to require that you put in some work on your part. So one of the classes that just started this last Tuesday, one of our core classes here at Northwoods is called Get Free. And the class is all about helping us to break free from the things that hold us back from the life that Jesus intended. And this class just started last Tuesday, but I talked to my brother Nathan, who you saw up here just a moment ago, who runs Get Free, and he told me that there are a few spots still available. And so what I've asked Nathan and the team to do is they're going to open registration for Get Free for just today alone. And they will take whoever registers on a first-come, first-served basis. They only have a few spots. But if that's you, you're saying, you know what, I'm going to do the work. And I'm tired of being hung up. I need to get rid of this extra weight in my life that holds me back. I want you to go to northwoods.church/get-free and sign up. It will be a class that will be life-changing for you. There are many in this church who have gone through it and have seen God set them free from the things that hold them back. And so if that's you, I want to encourage you, step out, say, you know what, I'm going to ditch extra weight. So you go there, you register, and we'll do our best to get you into the class. So to endure, let's recap. We embrace the challenge. We notice the crowd. We ditch extra weight. And then the you, I kind of had to work for this one, but we put understand the power of a crew. Understand the power of a crew. Just like in the movie, we all need a pit crew. Look at Hebrews again. Now, this isn't spelled out in this passage, but I believe that it's here. He says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And it says, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Part of enduring means choosing not to run alone. You were not designed to run alone. You were designed to have people who are with you, encouraging you, challenging you, spurring you on. You know, you don't have to be into car racing to know that races are never won alone. The driver will never get far apart from the pit crew. And so I want you to watch the Ford crew as they go to work on the car in the early morning hours of Le Mans.
Engine's running hot, Bobs.
All right.
He's hot, mate. Crack on.
Go, Denny. We're 220. We're okay.
All right.
You'll find it. Tires coming for the ball. Come on,
let's go.
Walk that out.
So again, in that clip, Ken Miles, he's the great driver. He's known as a great driver. But just being a great driver isn't enough to get it done. He needed a crew, right? He not only had someone who would step in and drive, give him a rest for a few hours. He'd have a crew that would come, check the oil, refill the fuel tank. They're checking tires, changing out tires, checking brake lines. They're taking care of the car. Then you got Carroll Shelby, who's overseeing the whole thing. Ken Miles is a great driver, but he needed a crew if he was going to endure. It's the same way for us. We need to understand the power of a crew. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians, I like this verse because it has race language all over it, Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So understand this race we're running, it's an upward, he says it's an upward call, meaning it's almost like an uphill race. It's challenging, which means you need people who are going to pull you up when you're worn out, when you're struggling. You need people who can constantly pull you up and call you up higher. You know, recently my brother and I we signed up for a Spartan race. It's an endurance race that involves strength obstacles. I was just like, Nathan, I gotta put some more structure. I need something that's gonna stretch me in my strength and conditioning. So we signed up for this race. And now Nathan, if you just look at us, you can tell Nathan's a little bit out ahead of me in his fitness and his, you know, conditioning than I am. And so I'm like, you know, Nathan's going to help me. But in the running part, I was like, I should be good. I talked to Nathan, you know, and he said, yeah, I have not run any distance at all. Like it's just not been a part of my, you know, my routine. And so that, you know, the distance part, the endurance part's really going to stretch me. And I'll be right with you. So we went out running this past Tuesday. This is our first week of training. We went out running, and we get about a mile in. And, you know, I'm not like in great shape, but I can run a few miles. And so we get out there, and I'm running it. And about 1 mile in, you know, I'm feeling it. I'm huffing and puffing. And I look over, and Nathan's just like, And I'm like, dude, this is easy for you. Like, you're not even trying. And then he starts picking up the pace. And I'm like, dude, I read the training plan. It says easy 2 miles the first week, easy. And I'm finding that what's easy for Nathan isn't necessarily what's easy for me. But here's the point. Nathan is going to pull me up, take me to a new level in my strength and conditioning. He's helping me to answer the upward call of this upcoming race. And you know what? We all need people in our life who can do that for us spiritually. We need people who challenge us, who encourage us, who inspire us, who comfort us in times of trouble, people who help us to answer the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You were not meant to do that alone. And so that's why you hear us talk about the importance of small groups here at Northwoods. Small group is a group of people you get together with on a regular basis, and it's just, hey, we're going to do life together. We're going to share about what's going on in our life. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to read God's word together. That's, you know, it's not like some scheme like we need people in groups. No, it's because we want you to have people in your life. This is a large church, and you need people who you can do life together with, and that happens in a small group. And so you can go on our website. There's a group finder. I'd encourage you just to get serious. Maybe you have a group of friends that you could bring some consistency to right now. And just say, you know what? Let's start meeting together consistently. And let's pray for one another. Let's share what's going on in our life. Understand the power of a crew. You need a crew if you're going to endure. So let's recap. The E is embrace the challenge. The N is notice the crowd. The D is ditch extra weight. The U is understand the power of a crew. And then here is the R. It's run your race. Run your race. Once you look back at what the writer said in Hebrews, I want you to bring that back up on the screen there. It says, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. The race God has set before us, meaning God is the one who determines the course. You and I don't get to determine the race. This is the course I want to run. No, he's the one who sets it. And in a similar, you know, in a similar way, all of us are running a similar race because we're all answering the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. But in another regard, we're all running a different race because God has called each and every single one of us to a different race. There's things he's called you to that maybe he hasn't called me to. And so that's why I say, run your race. I love what the Apostle Paul said in Acts. He said, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. I want you to stop right there. Notice he said, has given me. He didn't say, my only aim is to complete the task he's given to Barnabas. He didn't say, my only aim is to complete the task he's given to Silas. He didn't say, my only aim is to complete the task he's given to Lydia. No, he said, my aim is to finish the task he's given me. And he goes on to say, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. So just like Paul, the Lord has a race marked out for each of us that he's calling us to run, which is different than what he might have someone else running. You know, there's a scene in this movie where Bandini, who is the Ferrari driver, he begins to realize that he doesn't have the speed to match Ford on the straightaways. And so instead of sticking to Ferrari's game plan, which was basically, hey, we're gonna be efficient in the turns, we'll be efficient in our drive, we're gonna limit the amount of breaks we take, Bandini abandons Ferrari's plan, and he starts trying to keep up with the Ford car and Ken Miles on the straightaways. And I want you to watch what happens. So in that scene, Ferrari lost the race because Bandini abandoned their plan of, hey, we're going to be efficient on the straights, we're going to be efficient in the turns, and he tried to race according to Ken Miles' plan and to keep up with him on the straights, which never turns out well. You know, we live in an age, think about this, where social media makes it really easy for us to compare ourselves with others. So easy to compare yourself with, you know, tens of thousands of different people. And it becomes easy to look at people who are successful and say, man, maybe I should do what they're doing. But the problem is many times when we look at other people who are successful, we don't realize that the reason they're successful is because they're running their race and they're functioning out of the gifts that God has placed in them and the grace that God has placed on them. And if we try to run their race apart from the gifts and the grace that he's placed on them, you know what? You're going to struggle. You're going to endure. There are gifts God has given you. There's a grace he has on your life. And if you will run your race, you are going to be effective for the kingdom of God, and you will endure. Run your race, not someone else's. And so that means getting with the Lord. Listen, it's okay to learn from other people, but get with the Lord, seek him, and just say, Lord, help me to run the race you've marked out for me. And listen, you start praying that, I want you to understand, God's not going to reveal the whole course of the race he's going to have you run. It's not how it works. He's going to reveal the next step. He reveals a step at a time. And as we're faithful to take the next step, then God reveals more. So God, help me to run my race, the race you've marked out for me. I'm not looking at other people saying, maybe I should run like them. No, you've created me with specific purpose and a plan for my life. And I want to walk out your plan, and I want to run my race. So if we're going to endure, the E, embrace the challenge, N, notice the crowd, D, ditch extra weight, U, understand the power of a crew, R, run your race, and then here's the last part. Here's the E, pretty simple, eyes on Jesus. Eyes on Jesus. Look back to our passage as he goes on. In verse 2, it says, after he's just talking about how to run with endurance, he says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion. I love that word. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. This is the way we endure, by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. At the end of the movie, after Ford has pretty much wrapped up the race, Ferrari, both their cars are out, Ken Miles has his eye on one thing. And if you notice, he said it even in the trailer as we started. And he's got his eye on the perfect lap. That's what his eye has always been on, the perfect lap. I want you to watch this last scene.
He's going to break his own record.
Shut up.
Wait for it. Wait for it. Now.
That's another record.
It's a perfect lap.
It's the perfect lap. You know, his eyes were fixed on the perfect lap. And as his eyes were fixed on the perfect lap, victory for Ford came along with it. And the writer of Hebrews tells us to keep our eyes on our champion, the initiator and perfecter of our faith, Jesus. And you know what? Keeping your eyes on Jesus, it really means just this, trusting in Jesus. Trusting in Jesus. Listen, when you're not trusting your life to Jesus, trusting the things in your life to Jesus, it just becomes added weight that you're carrying throughout your race. And so keeping our eyes on Jesus means, like the Bible says, casting your cares on him and trusting him with him. That's how you endure. You place your trust in him. He will get you through. Church, I want you to stand as we close, and I want to pray a verse that the Lord has laid on my heart over this week. I want to pray it over you. In Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 30, and 31, it says in God's word, even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. So let me just stop right there. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I'm worn out. I'm tired. I feel like I'm stumbling. I feel like I'm falling. First off, I want you to know you're not alone. The Bible says that even youths, even young people, grow weak and tired, and young men fall in exhaustion. But then it says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. That's a promise. Anyone need new strength today? Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That's a promise from the Lord. You will find new strength as you trust in Him. And so let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your word. And I thank You that Your word promises that we will find new strength as we trust in You. And so, Lord, I pray You'd help us even right now to identify the places in our life where maybe we're not trusting You. Maybe it's placing a child in Your hands and trusting You with the outcome. Maybe it's trusting You for provision. Whatever it is, I want to encourage you to place that in the Lord's hand. And Lord, I thank You that You say we will find new strength. I pray new strength over Your people today, Lord. I pray that as we leave this place, there would be something that feels different. There has been a weight lifted off. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that Your people would endure for the long haul. Lord, I pray for children. I pray for students in this room. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would give them endurance. I pray You'd give them strength to stand and not be afraid to stand for You. Lord, I pray for those of us who have been walking with You. Maybe there's some of us here who are disappointed. Lord, I pray that You would give us endurance to run our race for the long haul. I pray there would be no one here who falls away. And so, Lord, we pray that strength over Your people. I thank You for Your promise that we will find new strength. Holy Spirit, I pray You would release endurance in the lives of Your people. I thank You for what You've done this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Were you glad you're here today, church? Thank the Lord. Amen. Listen, if you need prayer for anything, come on down front. We'll have the prayer team here. And hey, no peeling out in the parking lot. But hey, I hope to see you back next week as we continue in our series. Have a great day.